Well, it's that time again. It's a new episode of Paranormally Speaking. This week, I'm discussing most haunted locations and most haunted houses around the world, north, south, east, and west, and from sea to shining sea. Not only here in America, but on other parts of the world, in other parts of the world. Hope you've had a great week so far. We've gone through Mother's Day already. I hope all of you gave time to your mother, spent some time with your mom. No matter how some of you may feel that your mom drives you crazy, she still brought you into this world and she has the power to take you out. So I hope you showed her the respect she deserves. This week, I'll be covering that along with a few other things. And of course, my regular array of sponsors, commercials, whatnot. Things of that nature. And please hold for an important message from one of my sponsors.
You've made iHeartRadio the fastest growing music app in the U.S. Why? Because we connect you to all of your favorite music and radio stations in one free app. And this fall, prepare to take control of how you listen to the radio.
I'm in control. Replay.
That song on your radio you just can't hear enough? Immediately replay and sing along again.
Save
the music you love on the radio directly to your playlist.
Play.
Search for and play any song on demand.
Skip.
Unlimited skips.
Offline.
Take the music from your favorite stations offline. Introducing iHeartRadio Plus and iHeartRadio All Access. Your radio, now on demand.
What are the most haunted places in Salem? If there was one city you'd expect to have a lot of ghosts, it would be Salem, Massachusetts. When people talk about the most haunted cities to visit, Salem almost always comes up on the list. I know it was on my list, and I was fortunate enough to spend a weekend in Salem, Massachusetts. There's ghost city tours that they have. They've always taken great pride in researching the history and people associated with hauntings and that they feature on their ghost tours. And Salem is no different. Before they opened their ghost tours in Salem, they spent many months researching the ghost stories and seeing what is true and what is simply folklore. And they put together a list of the most haunted places in Salem. And these are the locations where they have verified that ghosts actually haunt. They also corrected some of the common misconceptions about a number of ghost stories being told. Now, nothing will replace a great ghost tour. So, while they hope you enjoy the list that they provided me with about Salem's most haunted places, they also hope that you will join them for a ghost tour in Salem so they can show you these locations and tell you even more ghost stories about them. Now, the first one that they submitted to me was Burying Point Cemetery. Perhaps the most famous haunted cemetery in Salem. The Burying Point Cemetery has seen a lot of over the course of Salem's history. Perhaps this is why so many ghost haunts take place in this cemetery. On the tour, they take you to the Burying Point Cemetery and tell you the stories of the ghosts which haunt there. But, I mean, for now, they just take you through the ghost tours of the Burying Point Cemetery on what they have set up during those actual tours. Now, the Witch House is another one. Maybe the most famous haunted house in Salem, as the only building remaining that is, or was, connected to the witch trials. And that was 1692. And this house still stands. Of course, it's seen major renovations. Now, the Witch House garners a lot of attention from people visiting Salem. And during the ghost tours, they make a stop outside of the Witch House. But if you can't wait to learn more about it, you can always check the Salem City Ghost Tours and learn more about the history and mystery of that location. Another one is Proctor's Ledge. After many years of debate, historians now mostly agree that Proctor's Ledge was the site of the hangings of the Salem Witch Trials. Now the hauntings there start to make sense. For over 200 years, the rumors of Proctor's Ledge being haunted have circulated throughout Salem. The Howard Street Cemetery, along with the Burying Point Cemetery, the Howard Street Cemetery is one of Salem's most famous haunted cemeteries. the site where Giles Corey was flattened between two stones. It should come as no surprise that the cemetery, well, is said to be haunted. The Old Salem Jail. If there is one place in Salem that is sure to be haunted, it is the Old Salem Jail. While it might not be a jail anymore, the building which sits there, where the jail was located, is haunted by more than a few ghosts, and not all of them are friendly. The House of Seven Gables, which I took a full tour through. The House of Seven Gables might be the most well-known house in Salem, although the Witch House may give it a run for its money. Today, the House of Seven Gables is well-known as one of Salem's most haunted houses. Who might be haunting this house? No one knows. The Haunted Pickman House, one of the most haunted houses in Salem. The Pickman House has been well known as the home to many ghosts for hundreds of years. Even passerbyers to the house have reported seeing the ghosts of apparitions in the windows and on the grounds. And while you cannot go inside the Pickman House, it is still very interesting to look at and view from the outside, of course. The Joshua Ward House. The Joshua Warehouse is one of the Salem's most historic homes, and if people are to be believed, it is also one of the most haunted houses in Salem. Rockefeller's. Most people who are coming to Salem are looking for the total paranormal experience. This often means finding a haunted restaurant to enjoy a delicious dinner. If it sounds like you, the Rockefeller's might be the place that you're looking for, known as one of the most haunted restaurants in Salem. Rockefeller's seems to be home to more than a few ghosts. The Haunted Merchant. If you're looking for a haunted place in Salem, you don't have to look much further than the Merchant. Long known for being one of the most haunted places in Salem, it had been on this list for a very long time, with a connection to the Salem witch trials. It might not surprise people that this location is in fact very haunted. The Haunted Ropes Mansion, made famous for being in the movie Hocus Pocus. The Ropes Mansion has been famous in Salem for much longer. It has also been regarded as a haunted place in Salem for even longer. Why would that beautiful mansion be haunted? Could it be due to the deaths that happened in the house? Gallows Hill. With a name like Gallows Hill, it probably doesn't surprise you to learn that this is one of the most haunted houses in the Salem area. For a long time, this was rumored to be the location where the witch trial hangings took place. But the history does not back that up, unfortunately. Regardless, the area around Gallows Hill on the house that once stood has long been rumored to be haunted by the people who died in Salem. Who could be haunting that area? The Old Town Hall. The Salem Old Town Hall seems to be the place where many spirits and ghosts have chosen to spend the afterlife in Salem. For over 150 years, the stories of ghosts and hauntings have been coming from the Old Town Hall. On the Salem ghost tours, they often make the stop at the Old Town Hall to tell you the creepy story of why one of the most haunted places in Salem came to be. The Salem Inn. The Salem Inn is the perfect place to stay. In Salem, if you're looking for a room with a ghost or two, over the years, an untold number of guests have been staying at the Salem Inn, and they've reported ghostly apparitions bothering them in the night. Who could be haunting the Salem Inn, and why are they still there? Well, dive into the history of this location, and it would tell you why the Ghost City tours think that it's one of Salem's most haunted spots. Now, the Salem Inn is where we stayed when we visited Salem, and they had a wedding going on the same weekend. So we got to meet a lot of people going in and going out, and I had to go back to our vehicle to put in the parking pass so our vehicle would not be towed from the parking lot. And at this time, it was 2012, so I had one of the first iPhones at this point, and I was playing around with the screen when I got on the elevator, and then noticed to my left this absolutely radiant blonde girl who was standing there in the corner, kind of like looking down. And she was dressed really well. I assumed she was a part of the wedding party. So I struck up a conversation with her, and she acknowledged me, smiled, blushed, nodded her head in agreement. And I asked her if she was part of the wedding party, and she went, mm-hmm, and blushed a little bit more. And I told her she looked beautiful, and she smiled. And the elevator stopped, the doors opened, and I looked back in her direction and said, oh, you can go ahead and get off first. She was gone. So I was physically riding the elevator alone, but metaphysically had another occupant that I was interacting with and acknowledged me speaking to her. And as I stood there in astonishment, the entire elevator started to smell like roses or strawberries, like a mix of both. And it just kind of wafted through the air. And at night, we stayed there two nights. At around 2:30, 3 o'clock, the light switch in the room would click and all the lights would come on. And at some point in the night, you'd hear things moving around in the room, and you'd sit and look up, and the items you had on the round table that were in your room, the items would be moving around and just fly off the table. And that happened several times as we stayed there for just one weekend. The ghosts of Bung Hole Liquors, located on Lowell Street, you'll find out one of the most haunted places in Salem. And with a name like Bung Hole Liquors, we know you're interested. While they don't go into that area during the ghost tours, it is still an important place to know about if you're looking for the most haunted places in Salem. The ghosts of Grimshaw House. Inspiring Hawthorne himself, the Grimshaw House should be on any list of the most haunted places in Salem, if not the world. It made the list after all, and there have been a lot of debates as to whether or not the Grimshaw House is in fact haunted or not. Wicked Good Books. If you're into books and ghosts, or even books about ghosts, the Wicked Good Bookstore is for you. Widely regarded as one of the most haunted places in Salem, Wicked Good Books should be on your itinerary when visiting Salem. Please hold for an important word from one of my sponsors. Ghosts, aliens, UFOs, Bigfoot, parallel universes, angels and demons, time travel, cryptozoology, and so much more within the realm of the unexplained, the strange, and the out of this world. I'm your host, Neil Parks, award-winning author, screenwriter, researcher, and paranormal professional. Join me every week as I tackle hot-button topics within the paranormal realm. I'll share personal accounts, my research, and secondhand evidence. I will read excerpts and stories from my books and discuss my upcoming projects in the literary world. Documentaries, both on TV and the big screen, plus my independent film projects. Paranormally Speaking is both thought-provoking and entertaining. New episodes drop every Thursday. Tune in to Paranormally Speaking and prepare to be enlightened. I was a part of a documentary series that was released in 2013 called My Amityville Horror. And it was about the eldest son, the eldest Lutz son, and his encounter and experience and the mental turmoil that he endured and still is tortured by today from the short period of time they spent in the Amityville house. And he said one of the greatest days of his life was when his stepfather died, because he was a ruthless, conniving son of a bitch. Just an awful human being. And he felt a great sense of peace when George Lutz died. Now, I never met George myself, but I did have a talk and a short interview and spent some time with the eldest Lutz son during the making of this documentary, My Amityville Horror. And I was fortunate enough to be the presenter during the film festival night of its premiere at the Gateway Film Festival. That was an interesting night indeed. Everyone was a little on edge, and the eldest Lutz son still has a lot to work out mentally from just the short period of time they spent at the house because of what his stepfather put him through. and all the years of being teased or bullied about living in the house. As of 2022, the house is occupied by a buyer who bought the house in 2017. The house was last listed on the market in 2016 for $850,000 and was Realtor.com's most popular house during the first week of its listing. However, the 5,000 square foot home was only sold a year on February 2017, when it was then purchased by an unnamed buyer for $605,000. This is a sharp contrast to similar houses in the area, which go for well above $1 million. The previous owners of the iconic house were Caroline D'Antonio and her husband. The couple bought the house in 2010 at a discounted price of $950,000 after it was listed for $1.15 million, the highest listed price ever for the haunted house. It was said that D'Antonio and her husband, David, chose the house because of its reputation and its hauntings and popularity. The house and the history behind it was the backdrop for the well-claimed Conjuring Part 2, which was the top-grossing film during its opening weekend. D'Antonio decided to sell the house in 2015 to downsize after the death of her husband in the same year. After the heinous murders committed by Ronald Defoe Jr., Amityville House went on to become the home of several families, including George and Kathy Lutz, 1975, Jim and Barbara Cremottery, 1977 and 1987, Peter and Janine O'Neill, 1987 to 1997, Brian Wilson, 1997 to 2010, and Caroline and David D'Antonio, 2010 to 2016. At the time of the murder, the house was worth $75,000. It's arguably one of the most famous haunted houses in the world, for it was the site of the grisly massacre that shook the nation. It was 3 a.m. in the morning on November 13, 1974, when Ronald Defoe Jr. took a .35 Marlin lever-action rifle and creeped upon his family. Within minutes, Ronald shot and killed his parents, his two younger brothers, and then his two younger sisters. However, the murders only reported at 6 in the morning when Ronald stormed into a local bar and shouted, "You have to get me help. You have to help me. I think my mother and father are shot." In the investigations that followed, the police were made aware by neighbors that no gunshots were heard, although dogs can be heard barking in the middle of the night at around 3 a.m. Ronald had initially suggested that the crimes were committed by a mafia hitman, Louis Fellini. It is in his initial statement, Ronald alleged that Fellini had pointed a gun to his head while shooting his family members with another gun. Although inconsistencies in his account of the events, as well as mounting evidence against him, forced Defoe to confess to the murder of his six family members. "Once I started, I just couldn't stop. It went so fast," Ronald Defoe Jr. during his confessions to the police. Defoe's lawyer, William Weber, eventually pleaded for insanity as a defense, claiming that the voices in Defoe's mind coerced him to commit the murders. However, the psychiatric evaluation of Defoe concluded that while he was an avid drug user and had displayed antisocial personality disorder, Defoe was well aware of his action at the time of the murders. On November 21, 1975, Ronald was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced with six consecutive sentences of 25 years to life in prison. Defoe passed away on March 21, 2021, at Albany Medical Center. The cause of death was not released to the public. Please hold for an important message from one of my sponsors.
T-Mobile believes customers deserve to get more without paying more.
Everything from entertainment benefits like Netflix on Us to travel benefits to Scam Shield protection, all with taxes and fees included. So the price you see is the price you pay. When you're a T-Mobile customer, you get over $225 in value every month in benefits with our Max Family plan.
That's like paying for nosebleed seats and getting to sit in the front row.
That's right. At T-Mobile, your family gets over $225 worth of value and benefits with our Max plan each and every month. Plus, with our price lock guarantee, we won't raise your rate plan price for talk, text, and data ever.
That's like paying for a cab and getting a stretch limo.
At T-Mobile, you get value beyond the expected.
Qualifying service required. Value based on included monthly benefits. Sales tax and regulatory fees included in Max's monthly price. Price lock guarantees rate price of talk, text, and data for new accounts with qualifying service. Exclusions apply. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Gosh, I hope my mother's not listening. This is a bit of a break from the norm. Is this the horniest haunting in America? Paranormal experts probably disagree about the location of the nation's most aggressive haunting, but the location of its horniest haunting, I think that's clear. Gainesville, Texas, where one landlord's former rental property is filled with ghosts who want to get their freak on all night long. That's according to local ABC affiliate station WFAA, which spoke with the owner, Linda Hill, about the atmosphere in this spooky homestead. In a word, it's sexual, she said. There's no other way to put it. Hill told WFAA that she and her husband saw 10 tenants cycle through the house, now available to rent only on a short-term basis, exclusively for ghost hunting purposes, in 2 years before she herself had an encounter. She was showering, she said, and she noticed a dark figure peering at her through the shower curtain. When the figure whispered, "Looking good," Hill thought it must be her husband flirting, until her husband walked into the room and asked her whom she was talking to. Since then, she has allowed several paranormal investigators to poke around with their ghost barometers, yielding erotic results in their electromagnetic voice phenomenon recordings. She claims to have heard the dearly departed moaning things like, oh baby, yeah. And yeah, I like it like that. There's also allegedly a bathroom door that refuses to stay closed, no matter how firmly you shut it. Which, well, sounds like the shade of a long dead perv still hellbent on peeping. Hill believes the relentless sexiness stems from the building's history. Originally built in the 1840s, it supposedly served as a brothel, thus the lingering horniness. Unrelatedly, Hill calls one room the murder room, because almost every psychic that walks in reports seeing a dead body sprawled on the floor. On top of that, someone plonked a 19-foot well in the middle of the floor plan, an amenity that isn't necessarily relevant to the haunting, but feels weird not to mention. If ghost sex is real, and many credible sources including Kesha, Lucy Liu, The Cut, Joy Behar from The View, and of course the nonfiction biopic Ghost, starring Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze, suggest it is. Spirits usually take the initiative, then sexy ghosts must exist too.
Computer, execute 12.4p operation.
Optimizing algorithm. Running encryption packet alpha 99. Oh, I don't feel so good.
What? What is it, computer?
Is it hot in here? It feels hot in here. I feel a little clammy. I should lie down or something.
A computer with a virus? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
Those oysters Rockefeller were a mistake.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Well, needless to say, this is going to be a huge undertaking, the next portion of this episode, so bear with me as I dive into the most haunted houses in every state and their horrifying backstory. Fabricated haunted houses have nothing on the real ones. If you love a spine-chilling tale and are considering exploring an actual haunted house near you, you're in the right place and listening to the right show. I'll be spotlighting top creepy homes in every U.S. state, so you can take note of the most haunted houses closest to you. You can always search them on Google and write down the address or directions on how to get there, or move very far away from them. Each one has a distinct backstory, but all have hosted many creepy, unexplainable occurrences, including disembodied sounds, touches, movements, and more odd happenings. From grand mansions that are now abandoned to quaint historic farmhouses, they all have one thing in common: endless reports of ghost sightings. Take a good old-fashioned American tour of all 50 states with me. This is the Haunted Houses edition. Start off with Alabama. Sweetwater, Florence. Many legends about the supernatural activity at this historic southern mansion. One witness had seen a soldier in a coffin appear in one of the rooms and suddenly disappear. There are also regular reports of female visitors being mysteriously locked in one of the Sweetwater Mansion's rooms as well. Alaska has the Begich Towers and White Ear. The Begich Towers, which tall buildings, is technically a home for most of the residents of this tiny town of Whittier. It has its stories, public utilities, stores within, and places of worship. With everything and everyone in town under one roof, there's bound to be some weirdness or a few roommate conflicts at the very least. Residents have heard phantom footsteps and whistling throughout the building. Not up for a ghostly encounter? Visit the prettiest small town in Alaska instead, then. Arizona. The Rossin House in Phoenix. Built in 1895, the Victorian home looks pretty spooky at any light. Instead, you'll find an interesting museum along with phantom footsteps, which might be from a former caretaker who has been tragically murdered. Arkansas has the Peel Mansion in Bentonville. Historic homes have their charms, but they also tend to have a few ghosts. You might bump into Samuel Peel, the original owner of this handsome mansion, on a tour of the estate. He allegedly haunts the property along with his daughter, Minnie Bell, who is usually seen wearing white. She's also been known to play the piano. And then let's move on to California, the Whaley House in San Diego. It's now a museum. The Whaley House was once a private home for Thomas Whaley and his family. Unfortunately, the home was built on the site of a gruesome hanging, and the victim was said to have haunted the Whaley family on the regular. Years later, Whaley's daughter, Violet, died by suicide, though her spirit has been spotted at the home. Those of Thomas and his wife, they have been as well. And then, of course, Colorado has the Molly Brown Mansion. And that's in Denver. Yes, it's that famous Molly Brown, the one who survived the Titanic. It's now a museum. Visitors have spotted the ghost of Molly. Her husband, JJ, and their guests smelled phantom cigar smoke, thought to be JJ's, and felt odd cold spots. Connecticut, New London Ledge Lighthouse in Groton, the former residence of a number of lighthouse keepers. This house has been featured on several ghost hunting shows. There seems to be only one spirit here named Ernie, but he's got a very strong presence. He likes to turn televisions off and on, take the sheets off beds, generally cause a ruckus with knocking. If you prefer your haunts on dry land, make sure to visit Connecticut's Ghost Town. Delaware, the Woodburn Mansion in Dover. This stately Georgian home was built in 1790 and bought by the state to use as a governor's residence in 1965. The home's a particularly active site for ghostly encounters, from the mysterious little girl who appeared floating in a fountain in a 1985 inauguration, to the boisterous revolutionary soldiers who allegedly drink any wine left out. After taking a peek at the estate, stock up on non-haunted antiques in a famed Delaware town. Florida has the Riddle House, West Palm Beach residence. This property was once a funeral home, so it almost goes without saying that there's a lot of mysterious and ghostly activity here. One of the more famous ghosts is named Joseph and worked for the home's owner, Carl Riddle. Joseph had sadly died by suicide in the home. Allegedly, his spirit occasionally attacks those he feels are on his turf. Georgia has the Rhodes Hall in Atlanta. Though Savannah is famous for its ghost tours, especially through the town's gorgeous town squares, Atlanta isn't lacking in haunted homes. Rumor has it that Rhodes Hall, which was once the stately home of furniture owner Amos Rhodes, is haunted by the former Mrs. Rhodes along with an evil spirit called the Shadow Man. Apparitions of children also have been seen around the stately building. Today, Rhodes Hall serves as the headquarters of the Georgia Trust for Historic Preservation. Please hold for an important message from one of my sponsors.
Unparalleled insider access. Get it all. Introducing the SiriusXM Platinum VIP plan.
Our newest, most exclusive plan.
Listen in two cars, plus stream anywhere with two app logins. Access a massive, exclusive library of live concert video and audio recordings through nugs.net. Have opportunities to experience live and virtual SiriusXM events, including VIP-only exclusives. Get all your questions answered by a dedicated VIP customer care team. Plus, get all the entertainment we've got. It's all included with your Platinum VIP subscription. Be a VIP. Call 844-711-8800 to learn more. Offer details apply. One login per activated vehicle. Not available in Canada.
And now we're back after that commercial break to go on with the list, which brings us to Hawaii. The Volcano House Hotel. This former private home turned hotel is where you might see the ghost of an older woman, along with the spirit of a white dog. Or maybe you'll want to stick to touring one of Hawaii's most romantic beaches instead. Idaho has the Murder House in Boise. A brutal murder in 1987 gave rise to local lore for this unassuming home. Some say the victims still haunt the ground today, and some locals even refer to it as the Chop Chop House, which is perhaps a little macabre considering the backstory. Illinois, McPike Mansion in Alton. The accounts of hauntings for this former boarding house go all the way back to the 1940s. Back then, the boarders would hear children playing when no children lived there. Though it was abandoned for decades, passerbys would see faces in the windows, and a ghostly presence of a former owner was also seen wandering the grounds. You can continue your Illinois ghost tour by traveling to Chicago to see a very haunted cemetery and, of course, where the Valentine's Day massacre took place. Indiana has Nicholson Rand House in Indianapolis. Accounts of hauntings of this historic home didn't start until around 1997, which is weird, when the structure was moved for preservation purposes. That year, a ghostly figure was spotted looking out a window when the home was photographed during the move. This prompted others to reveal their accounts of other paranormal encounters. Iowa has Villisca Axe Murder House in Villisca. Iowa has a rich history, but some of it is a little unsettling. As the name suggests, this unassuming home was the last site of a gruesome murder in 1912. Six members of the Moore family, who owned the home at the time, and two visitors were bludgeoned to death. Axe wounds were found on each, giving rise to the home's name. The murderer was never found. And today, visitors report bedroom doors opening and shutting on their own, unexplained sensations of being slapped or pinched, odd chills, and the sounds of screams. Kansas has the Sally House in Atchison. This infamous house is haunted by Sally, a young girl who had entered the home around the turn of the 20th century. At the time, it was the home of a physician who unsuccessfully tried to treat Sally for appendicitis. Kentucky has the Liberty Hall in Frankfort, Kentucky. Three spirits famously haunt the circa 1796 home, and one is called the Gray Lady, who died of a heart attack after traveling to the home for a funeral. Another is a Spanish opera performer who had mysteriously disappeared from the house during a visit. Louisiana, the Myrtles Plantation in South Friendsville. As with any former plantation, this house has a violent origin story. The famous ghost of the property is Chloe, who was enslaved and murdered after a tragic accident. Maryland has the Hager House and Hagerstown. Dating back to 1739, this historic house is believed to still be the home of two families of ghosts. Visitors have heard disembodied voices and witnessed items move on their own. Massachusetts has the Lizzie Borden House in Fall River. You're probably familiar with the story of Lizzie Borden, who was tried for killing her family with an axe. Michigan, Henderson Castle in Kalamazoo. So many ghosts, so little time. Unless, well, ghosts are real, then perhaps time is on a loop and infinite, because that's how they operate. At this historic home turned in, visitors have seen the ghosts of the original owners, Frank and Mary Henderson. Minnesota has the Four Paw House in St. Paul, which is currently a restaurant. The stately home was the former residence of local magnate Joseph Four Paw and his wife. Molly was her name. They were weren't exactly a happy couple in 1892. Molly discovered Joseph in bed with their housekeeper. When Molly, who was also pregnant with their child, tried to end the marriage, Joseph died by suicide. Mississippi has the McRaven House in Vicksburg. Though it's a little difficult to see, McRaven is considered to be the most haunted house in the state. It's hard to see because of the foliage. Missouri has the Limp Mansion in St. Louis. Once the home of the wealthy Limp family, this mansion is now an inn. The family had a number of tragedies, with a number of personal misfortunes and mysterious deaths. Visitors to the inn have reported supernatural incidences, such as hearing a piano that only plays a single note repeatedly through the night. Montana, the Copper King Mansion in Crested Butte. This historic property has been a local landmark for decades and is now a bed and breakfast. Some ghosts of the inn have experienced a ghostly presence in the ballroom. Nevada, the Governor's Mansion in Carson City. When Nevada's first family is home, they just might be sharing their residence with the spirits of the very first family of the state. Nebraska, the Captain Bailey House in Brownville. Now the location of the Brownville Historical Society, the stately home once belonged to Civil War Captain Captain Bailey. The captain met his demise prematurely after being poisoned by a jealous neighbor, which is perhaps why he still haunts the premises. New Hampshire, the ocean-born Mary House, Henniker. Though the historic photo shows the house from decades ago, if you go to their website, ocean-born Mary House still stands today as a private residence. However, one of the residents just might be Mary herself. New Jersey has the Spy House in Port Monmouth. Nicknamed the Spy House, this historic site dates back to 1663 and was famously used as a tavern during the Revolutionary War. Ghost sightings include a woman in white, mysterious sobbing noises, and a sea captain. New Mexico has the Luna Mansion in Los Lunas. The grand old mansion is home to a friendly spirit, the ghost of Josefeta Otero. Josefeta oversaw the renovations to her mansion when she was alive and might have grown so fond of the place that she decided to stick around through the decades. New York has the Death House in New York City. The 19th century brownstone has been the site of a number of unexplained deaths and violence. So, of course, there's going to be a lot of paranormal activity there. However, if you're not just going to run into random ghosts, you might have an otherworldly celeb encounter. Mark Twain is said to lurk around the sporting and here sporting a handsome white linen suit. And that's in New York City. Now, I've been to the 21 Club in New York City and had an interesting encounter with the ghost of Humphrey Bogart. More of that later. North Carolina, the Biltmore Estate in Asheville. Many films have been produced and set there at that mansion. The famed and massive estate is where you may run into the original owners, George and Edith Vanderbilt. North Dakota, Fort Abraham Lincoln, Custer House, and Mandan. General Custer built this house for his beloved wife, but never got to spend much time in it before his death in 1876. Allegedly, she haunts the home, walking the widow's walk looking for him. Ohio has Franklin Castle in Cleveland. Honestly, Ohio has a lot more haunted properties, but I decided to go in a different direction of one that I've never talked about before, the Franklin Castle in Cleveland. The impressive 30-room home fits the profile of a haunted house. There are secret passageways, creepy gargoyles, and a famous curse that started with the home's original owner, Hans Tiedemann. Once his family moved in, they died one by one in the house. Hans died right after he sold the home. The property was switched to the hands many times, though owners don't seem to hold onto the house for very long.
Boston, 1898. Clara Fowler arrives at the office of renowned psychotherapist Dr. Morton Prince, plagued by visions, exalted by apparitions of the Virgin Mary, cursed by a demonic presence obsessed with her demise. A city marshal pursues Clara, hell-bent on pinning the murders of her infant siblings on her father and uncovering their connection to the serial killings of Jack the Ripper and H.H. Holmes. What happens next is more shocking than the grizzled lawman could ever imagine. The Unwelcomed by Ron Felber. Pre-order on Amazon or where books are sold.
And now our journey across these 50 states that make up this great nation that was built on the backs of slaves, drenched in the blood of indigenous people. But hey, what can I say? America, am I right? So now we are in Oklahoma. The Belvedere Mansion. Claremore, Oklahoma. Hazy figures, toilets that flush on their own, random grabbings when no one is around, and mysterious hot and cold spots have led some to believe that this historic home is one of the most haunted in the state of Oklahoma. Oregon, the Hachette Head Lighthouse, keeper's home in Florence. Since the 1950s, this lovely home has been haunted by a spirit named Rue, also referred to as the Gray Lady. Rue likes to open and close doors, stomp around on the floors, and occasionally make appearances when summoned by, and I can't stress this enough, do not play with these, when summoned by a Ouija board. Do not mess with those or seances. They are like a party line. You have no idea who you're going to be communicating with or who will be talking back to you. Demons use those tools as a means to lure you into the occult by posing as familiar entities and or comforting spirits. Pennsylvania has Baker Mansion in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Built in the 1840s, the home has since become a museum. However, its original residents still make themselves known. Rhode Island has the Sprague Mansion in Cranston. This famously haunted house was once the home of the wealthiest family in Cranston. Though long dead, there's evidence that the family never actually left. Well, spiritually speaking. South Carolina has the Battery Carriage House Inn in Charleston. Once a private residence, this gorgeous inn is considered very, very haunted. The innkeepers have posted a list of apparitions you might see on your next visit, such as a headless torso, a congregation of spirits, and a gentleman ghost. Tennessee, the Woodruff Fontaine House in Memphis. The hauntings that have occurred in this home are rooted in the tragic life of Molly Woodruff, who lived here during the late 1800s. Molly lost her child to yellow fever, then lost her husband in a boating accident days later. South Dakota has Adams House, Deadwood. Okay, so the promise that the actual house is a real place is true because this home may be haunted by the spirit of the former owner, W.E. Adams, in Deadwood, South Dakota. He had died in the house, and his wife, Mary, had encountered his spirit after his death and decided to leave the home behind. And then, number 42 on the list of 50 most haunted, Texas, the Littlefield House in Austin. Built in 1894 for Civil War veteran George Littlefield, that home eventually was given to the University of Texas at Austin. The top floor is rumored to be haunted by Alice Littlefield, George's wife. Utah, McCune Mansions, Salt Lake City. This historic home is currently a venue for weddings and conferences. You might bump into the spirits of a caped man and a little girl. The latter usually appears at weddings, happily dancing. And then there's Vermont, Bowman House, Laurel Hall, and Shrewsbury. You might want to mind your manners at this historic home, because if you don't, the spirits might let you know their displeasure. Like the time a young girl had stuck her tongue out at a portrait while touring the property, only to have the painting fly off the wall and hit her. Various apparitions have been spotted, including that of Mrs. Bowman, the wife of the home's original owner. Maine has Captain Lord Mansion in Kennebunkport. Now, I've been to Bar Harbor. That's as far into Maine as I've been. Now, this home was originally built in 1812 by its namesake, Captain Lord. Apparently, the ghost of Captain Lord's wife appears in a nightgown. It's currently part of Lark Hotels in Kennebunkport Captain's Collection. Then we have in Washington, the Campbell House in Spokane. Though it's a gorgeous home, the Campbell House has a sad past. One night in the early 1900s, a burglar murdered three of the four Campbell family children. The last was kidnapped and never returned to the family. Today, visitors report an unsettling feeling when entering the home and being followed by the eyes of a family portrait. West Virginia, the Berkeley Castle in Berkeley Springs. This imposing castle was built in 1885 as the home of Colonel Samuel Taylor Suit and his wife, Rosa. The couple have rumored to still haunt the castle, along with the ghost of Rosa's boyfriend. Ooh, scandalous. Then in Wisconsin, you've got the Octagon House, Fond du Lac. Weird shadows, mysterious moving items, and the ghost of a young boy have all been witnessed at this historic home. And now, that brings us to number 50. Last but not least, Wyoming, the Ferris Mansion and Rollins. If you stay at this mansion that's been turned into an inn, don't be too surprised if you run into the family who originally lived there. Visitors have spotted the ghost of a woman and a boy who are thought to be those of Julia Ferris and her son, Cecil. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Paranormally Speaking. I'm your host, Neil Parks. Join me next time for more spooky and weird entertainment, I guess you could call it that. I offer some enlightenment and some mild form of education. I definitely keep you entertained. I think so, anyway. Have a great weekend, and I will see you later. Well, so long, ta-ta, alvitaze, goodbye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Paranormally Speaking. I hope you join me next week for more super scary, strange, fun, unusual, and unheard of information that I managed to dig up, happened to read about, come across upon my research and times of investigating, and also sharing personal encounters with you like I always do of things that I myself through the years have experienced or encountered. I hope you have a great weekend, a terrific rest of the week, because we have to get through that first. And of course, anymore, with the way the world is and everything we're faced with every day feels like Monday. So Monday through Friday is actually just one long-ass Monday. Then the weekend hits, and we try to cram in so much to catch up with what we've missed during the week because we are slaves to the government and to corporations. Therefore, we have to shackle in for five-day work weeks, keep our heads down so we can pay our mortgages and car payments, and hopefully not end up in the street if we speak up against the man. So have a great weekend. Please join me next time for another fun-filled episode of Paranormally Speaking. I'm your host, Neil Parks, signing off.